Even more humbling as our church grows, and just so you know, the offering isn't just it's not for silly reasons. It's to fulfill the vision that God gave us, and so it costs money to do all this. And what's amazing, I don't want to dwell there, but what's amazing about this trip is that part of the vision for this place is that mission would be a constant part of this, and that there would be money built in to help send teams and things like that. That's not where we're at yet. And so what I just wanted to honor the rest of the team with is that other than maybe a couple $100 and paying for lunches as we prepared for team meetings, everybody was self-supported on this trip. And so this wasn't a line item on the budget or anything like that. And so I just wanted to say that because it's important to know where funds come from. And so God put a burden on these people's heart to go do something for a week. And it's not always possible for everyone. But today's title of the message is How to Save the World. And I wanted to read through some verses from Romans 12, if that's okay, and talk about this trip. My heart's very full this morning, so I'll try to limit it to like a 30-minute download here, but we're going to do our best. So let me read from Romans 12. I'm going to read 13 verses, which is a lot. But keep in mind, how to save the world. And so, dear brothers, Romans 12, I'm going to read verses 1 through 13. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think that you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, then be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have the gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope, be patient in trouble, and keep on praying. Verse 13, when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. I was blown away on this little trip of basically 5.5 days. All of that you saw was in 5.5 days. And so we got started on Wednesday evening, and we went to a church service. And then good old Stephen and our liaison, Natalie, they basically found ways to keep our schedule very full, which is how I like mission trips to be. And so we started there at the church, and the pastor there, his name's Francisco, and we were able to partner with their VBS, which is pretty cool because this is the first time their church put on their own VBS. Always in the past, it had been groups like ours or larger coming in and putting on a VBS. The Whitleys have been a part of those before. So here's a church, good size, a little bit bigger than us. They probably see more like 80 or so on a Sunday morning, and we probably had 50 kids from the neighborhood were there during the week, and so here they are taking this step and put on an amazing VBS, and so all of the songs and the music, and it was just wonderful, and Pastor Francisco's right there in the middle of everything, and so they had been running through the week, and then we were able to start Thursday morning with them, and we just had such a ball. We were basically, because we are gringos and could barely speak Spanish, we were limited to helping put crafts together, which is fun explaining like an origami project without the language, and so lots of hands-on demonstration, and most of us had trouble with the origami, so we were in trouble. And and then also games, of course. So it was our challenge to help keep basically 25 kids at a time from knocking the walls down. And so that was their sanctuary that you saw us in, and they basically pushed the chairs aside just like we would here, and they went crazy with kids. And so verses 1 and 2, it says to make yourself a living sacrifice to the Lord. And when I was down there, you know, planting a church, you have people that help you, and so you're able to give some roles away, and then sometimes they come back to you, and sometimes you get to lead worship, sometimes you get to take out the trash, and those are all good things. And what really blessed me, just as a pastor of basically a small church plant, was seeing Pastor Francisco leading the kids in singing, led worship Wednesday night, played the drums on the Sunday morning service. And I'm like, this is my man. And we're in the Get Her Done Club, you know, make it happen. And we had a guy share to us pastors a few weeks ago, and he said, don't be discouraged as church planners. He said, we are SEAL Team 6 for Jesus, man. And I just love that phrase. And so I was so encouraged to see another pastor just letting it all out for Jesus, you know, whatever needs to be done. And so, but at the same time, seeing other people come alongside them, they had teenagers and other adults walking through that, you know, with the children and just watching the service happen. And so I saw a husband and wife down there that had chosen to give their lives for San Luis Rio, Colorado. Whatever it took, they were up for it. It's beautiful, right? Verses 3 through 5, don't think of yourself as better than you really are, is basically, and about being a part of a body. We watched some of the different ministries unfold at this place, and so a few of us had the privilege of going to a women's rehab and then also to a men's rehab. And so the heroin that all ends up here that's wrecking our culture and society is starting in Mexico, and believe me, they're using their share before it gets here. And so it's an epidemic that's international, basically. And so we went into a home that was small, and the concrete work you saw was the new rehab center for men that's being built across the street from the compound where we stayed at. And so they can take care of more men, and they're going to start doing a Bible school there, and pretty cool stuff. And so we went into this little house, and let's put it this way, it was cooler outside. And I put the screenshot of the weather forecast. Did you catch that? The average was about 105, 106, and, you know, dry heat, you know. And it's real, but it still just takes the breath out of you as soon as you get out anywhere. But here's this little house, and Ernie himself had come off of drugs, I believe, and had been saved, gone through Bible school. And here he is leading a house with about 7 guys. 2 of them had just come in off the street in the last 24 hours. And you could see it. And at the same time, they not only minister to their needs from coming off of that, but then they begin to build them up in the Lord and begin to teach them the Bible. And then some of them become pastors, which is really, really cool. The older guy you see speaking with us at the dump and a couple other places, his name's Alberto, and his testimony is a former convict and a former drug use. When he was in the United States, he served time. He can't come back. He can't get a visa here. And but he basically, I think it was in the 80s, he had a $250 a day heroin habit. And so God set him free when he was in prison. And he is a man on a mission. He is determined to preach the gospel to anybody that will listen every day of his life. In verses 6 through 8, it says that God has given us different gifts. And we were fortunate enough for Kelly to develop a drama before we left. And so we went out to the village a couple times. You saw it at night. We would play with the kids in soccer and try to round up a crowd. And good old Mike was trying to play goalie. But their 13-year-olds there will pretty much just make you look silly. And so I was trying to play soccer. They'll play on pavement, by the way, which is brutal. And so we did our best, and they humiliated us and had fun doing so. And so we get the kids together, and then we would do a song. We'd do our drama, which told the salvation story, and then we would, a couple of us would do testimonies, preach. I got to preach a lot of places, and then Alberto would always just try to kind of throw up a softball for him, and then he'd just take it out of the park. And then we'd finish that time by handing out 5-pound bags of beans and then candy to the kids. And so it was always fun to meet practical needs as well. Verse 9 says, don't just pretend to love others, really love them. A few of us went to the dump one morning, and what's interesting about that, there are people that live there. You could see, I don't know if you could see little shanties kind of built in the background, but the people crawling through it, they just dump their stuff. Like, we basically process everything through machinery that sifts for anything worth a penny, right? I mean, so all of our metal comes out of our garbage here. It all goes through, you know, process. They just go into trash can, trash truck, dump. And so there are people that make their living by just sifting through the garbage as fast as it comes in. And so they literally move quickly to the fresh drop of a garbage truck, which is pretty humbling to watch, and very humbling, needless to say. And we were there. Alberto goes and takes groups, and he's there regularly. They know him, and which is really cool. You see the faithfulness and the relationships. But at the same time, if they stop working, they're not making money. And if they're not going through the next dump, somebody else is. You see what I'm saying? So he basically convinced the group there to kind of all stop. And so we had an audience of about a dozen people, and just did a couple short testimonies. I think Shannon shared there, I forget. But a couple people shared. And there again, we gave out beans. And then there was a few kids there, so we gave out candy there. I forget, some of us didn't go to every place, and so I'm in my mind, I try to remember who was where and forget about it. The concrete work was honestly just about an hour early one morning. They were pouring at 6 a.m., and it was kind of like anybody available that was up before breakfast could pop on over for a little bit. So Jael and I went over before breakfast, and we were able to just kind of, we basically watched them work, and I got to do a couple little things, but I probably got in the way more than I helped. And but like I said, that's the foundation for the next rehab center. Wanted to read from verse 11 again. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. And it's something, it's part of our vision for this place. Danielle and I and the leadership is that this would be a place of enthusiasm, where we are working hard, where we're taking care of people, we're working in kids' ministry, but that it would be a place of joy. You know, it's one thing to work, and we all know that when we work for a living, it's not all smiles, right? It's work. But when you're doing something as unto the Lord, there is a joy that's there for the Christian. And that's what we really were able to walk in. And so even towards the end of our week, we were able to paint. It's actually a center for the blind. And I didn't say that on Facebook because I just didn't. When you're saying you're painting a house for blind people, just bad jokes can show up. But this is a center that basically one lady who is blind was taking care of other blind people and just trying to help them live. They don't have the support structure within their government and country to take care of disabilities the way we do. It's just not there. And so it's not like they're outcasts or like despised or anything. Like, they have to live on the outside of the city. There's just no resources. And so so Caring Hearts has come alongside them, got them a nice building with, gosh, I would say the whole building is probably like our main, maybe a little smaller than our whole section right here. And they do education. They also have projects that they can work on for like jewelry and I think brooms to help make money. So you're giving people resources to learn and to take care of themselves, right? And so lots of people that work with these people are in the place, and it hadn't really been painted, I don't think, since it had been set up. And so we were able to get probably about half the structure painted on the inside, and that was in like a few hours, which was really cool. Everybody was moving, and when you have 10 people basically painting, and a really cool guy named Marcella helped us there. But anyways, in verse 12, it says, "Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying." And then I'll go ahead and read verse 13. "When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality." Hopefully the little video clip stuck out where we were singing in a, I don't know if you could see it, in a bedroom. And there's a little guy laying back in the bed, and that's really about all he can do is lay there. His name's Jorge, or George, and Stephen had visited him before, and he wasn't on our list of people we were going to see that day, but they added him at Stephen's request. And so we went to four different shut-ins, people that are basically have a terminal reason why they can't move, out of their house, a shut-in. And Caring Hearts takes care of 35 shut-ins. They actually have a home care nurse that goes around, changes diapers, whatever these people need, takes them to doctor's appointments. And so this lady's on staff with Caring Hearts, and then Caring Hearts pays for things like their utilities and even rent in some situations. So you talk about taking care of people, right? And so we were in probably the most, and Alberto kept telling us that we could take pictures, and it's just not my style. And so we were kind of at a happy moment singing, and so I kind of wanted to share that. But I did, and at the other few homes, the one in particular, I would say the whole house would fit in our front room. And pretty rough. And so you had a little kitchen with a table, and I don't think I'm exaggerating, maybe smaller. And then a bedroom, and in the bedroom was a single bed about 2 feet, and then a queen size bed that was wedged at the back wall and the side wall, and then a couple feet from the foot of the queen was like a homemade bunk bed. And so the whole family stayed in that little room, and the mother is fighting a good deal of illness and things like that. And so you're invited into their home, you know, which is basically, I mean, I could build better probably in a day, you know, with a few $100 of materials. I mean, that's what we're looking at. And you're invited in, and you just see hope and thankfulness for what God is doing, and definitely frustration, you know, but to be able to pray with people. Right then and there, our ladies laid hands on them and on the lady, and we just pray Jesus' love over this family, right? They're receiving it, they're seeing it, but to walk in and out of those situations, oh my gosh, it just takes your heart, right? And so we're serving, and really we're there kind of seeing how Caring Heart serves these people. And so the idea for short-term mission is that people would go and learn how to give their lives away. And that's really what it does. We're not the heroes by any means. They were thankful for our help. You know, we painted a couple walls that weren't painted there before. But we're not their saviors, right? That's an arrogant way to go on a trip like that. But you just go to serve. You go to not care about the things, your creature comforts, about what you usually would do or where you would sleep, the bed, and so you are sacrificing, but we were still sleeping on mattresses and air conditioning every night, you know, and we had this lady Isabel just blowing our minds and our stomachs away with the most amazing food. But then to go day after day and just to see God use us in different ways, and to say, God, this is what you want to do with us. Got a couple things up here. The flowers today are for somebody who wasn't able to make it. The flowers and this gift and this card are for Kristen. Kristen has faithfully served in our children's department, and she's stepping down. She has a full-time job that's taking more of her time, and just a different, God moves in seasons, and that's okay. And it's real important to know that's okay. And so basically, if you ever help with kids, you're not stuck there forever. That's the good news. But if you get a chance to, reach out to Kristen. Thank her for her heart and for giving. They're not going anywhere. Justin's actually in with the kids today. She had something to do with Alina, I'm pretty sure. But we want to honor her service. And then also, stand up real quick, Nicole. I'll embarrass you. This is Nicole. Say hi, Nicole. Nicole is our new children's director. So say, hey, Nicole. She is a longtime friend of mine by default. I'm kind of I got her in the marriage. Danielle came with her. They've been best friends since they were 5 years old, and God has given them a special friendship. And as you've seen, her and her family become a part of our church. They were baptized earlier this year, and so her and her sister are going to be doing a lot to work with our kids back there, and they're going to need our help. And so as we grow, as we serve our community, a big part is how we take care of kids in this place. And so I challenge us as a church that we would take care of the kids that God trusts us with. And I saw that at Caring Hearts, and I'll finish with the last thing, is that the place we stayed at, you call it a compound for better sense of the word, I can't think of a better way to describe it, for security reasons, mostly for theft. They basically wall all of their private properties to the edge of the property line. That's what we were pouring in the concrete. That was for the wall around the property. And everybody does it. It's just kind of, it's a Spanish kind of heritage thing too. But then it's also for protection and theft. And so there's I'll get the sizing wrong, but I'd say probably the size of a couple of like average yards, you know, a couple in our neighborhoods would be about the size of what this property is. And the main building is a boys' home. And so that's where this ministry started, was Kelly's grandfather. I get the details probably maybe a little messed up. But basically, somehow a couple guys found out that there was a man taking care of orphans, and people just started giving them resources and eventually set up a place. So our message today is how to save the world. Well, Jesus does the saving. That's first and foremost. I can get myself really messed up as a pastor if I fail somebody, or if somebody falls away, or if somebody doesn't like me. I can't win them all. But it's I don't do the saving. Jesus does the saving. But what he does is he calls us all to lay down our lives, to build a road, to build a bridge, to build steps to somebody's life so that the gospel can enter. And so this word today is about making yourself living sacrifices. My other prop today, this is a pretty sorry little apple. But what's cool about it, it's one of two apples, and it was all a tree produced. That tree is this tall, and I only planted it a couple years ago. So I got this little tree, man, and it just it's putting out fruit. A challenge for us today as a church, and for us individually. God has planted a great thing inside of us, his holy word. And if you've trusted it with your life, then there's seed there, and that seed needs to be watered. You guys are doing it. Come into church. That's one way you do it. You do it by reading the word outside of church. Believe it or not, you're allowed to. And then also, you spend time with other Christians, and you build each other up. And it's really, really good. The Bible talks about that. And you basically become the church. And then you begin to give, and you begin to serve, and you begin to pray. And our little church has already produced some of these, right? And so I'm thankful for them. I've seen the big orchards with tons of apples. That's okay. God's calling us to produce fruit with what we have, right? We close in prayer this morning. God, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your heart. God, I thank you for Mexico. God, I thank you for sending me as a freshman, God, to Mexico for the first time. And so, God, I thank you that it's just a state in my heart. God, I thank you for the ministry and the vision and the generosity of a family over the years to just pour into a place. And, Father God, to turn a ministry loose in a city that needs hope, God. And so, God, I thank you for a place that would not forget about George laying in his bed, little Jorge. And, God, I thank you for a church that wouldn't forget about people working in the dump. And, God, I thank you for a church that would pull out all the stops to take care of 50 kids and to teach them about Jesus at Vacation Bible School. And, God, I thank you that you have called us not to the exact same things, but to love a world with real love and to give ourselves away as living sacrifices. In Jesus' name, amen. Could we stand and close?